This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.
I've now got a story about a college in Bournemouth that has asked some very peculiar questions to its students to try and get them to think about mental health. These questions were probably not the most politically correct questions, as they, on this test that they had given to their hair and beauty students, included questions such as, how many depressed people does it take to change a light bulb? The answers for this multiple choice test included 1, 2, 10, or it doesn't matter, because when you're depressed, it's always dark. They also, asked some questions along the lines of, people harm themselves for a laugh to get attention, true or false? Now, obviously, these are not particularly great questions to be asking anyone, and there were several students who came out and said that not only were these questions hurtful to those that did suffer with depression, but it was also kind of making a mockery, despite the fact they were trying to make a point of people needing to respect mental health. Guys, what do you make of these questions? What do you make of the idea of giving tests to try and make people understand mental health?
Sorry, they ask questions like that to make people respect mental health.
Yes. Yeah. That was their plan. That was their intention.
I'm slightly struggling to see... the idea that make people think this is so bad that...
The college has since apologised for making the students take the test, but, yeah, the idea was to try and raise awareness of mental health issues.
I think that's appalling to say that, to even imply that people would self-harm because they're looking for attention and they're looking for a laugh is absolutely disgusting. And I don't understand why. I can understand, like, with things like, a couple of weeks ago we covered the College Humour video, which compared being attacked by a bear to rape, and that was cleverly done because that used humour in a good way to sort of signify, so there was this guy, but if we just ignore it, it will go away and stuff like that. That was clever.
Yeah, the bear will only kill one in five of
exactly,
us. So
exactly,
fine.
Stuff like that. Yeah, humour has been used in a good way to get the point across, and it's actually making people think. This is literally just insensitive, and I can't understand how anyone would think that this is a correct way to approach mental health.
It's really shocking. Like, it's like for people who have to answer that, especially people who may suffer from mental health, that would literally be like the worst thing. That's horrible. Like, that's actually quite, yeah, it's really shocking actually.
If anything, it just belittles it more.
Yeah,
it literally just says it to me. A statement like that says it's something to laugh about, it's not serious, people do it for attention. It's completely not the case at all. People who self-harm often do need help, and it's awful. But I just fundamentally can't get my head around it. Like, the way to approach things like mental health is with sensitivity, it's with asking people what's wrong, it's being a friend for the people who are there, and it's also for making sure that they get the help that they want. It's not through making fun of them.
Well, the college has since said that they apologise unreservedly for any offence for the programme may have caused, but the test was supplied to them by a national organisation which specialises in the provision of interactive e-learning and e-assessment for colleges, schools, universities and local authorities, but they didn't check the test first before it went out. But the fact that this is being supplied by a national organisation, that surely raises some questions.
That raises a lot more questions, such as how much are we publicly funding them and how much do we have to pay them to tell them to not do things like this?
Yeah.
it just seems like such a... But it seems like step one, doesn't it? Don't do that.
Yeah, but even for the college not to check it, you'd think that for such a sensitive topic, like, they would check it, and especially as it's a national company that perhaps do it, that's just even worse.
Well, it's easy to overlook and forget things, even the most simple things, you know. It's very easy to overlook and to... just to fail to remember, even to do something, to everything from checking this to remembering people's names. You know, it's easier said than done, even though it seems like a very simple thing to do.
But I mean, ultimately, is a test for this kind of thing to try and, is that a good way of trying to get across mental health awareness? Because I mean, it is obviously a sensitive issue, but if this had been done correctly, would this have been a good way to actually get forward the point?
I still don't actually understand what you mean by test, as in, like,
was a multiple choice test that asked... I had a series of questions, all of them related to mental health in some way, along the lines of what I've already mentioned, and it was multiple choice that you had to fill in during one of the classes at the health and beauty module.
If it had been done correctly with sort of, like, maybe, like... if you knew someone suffering with this, what would you do? If you, like, if you were in this position, what would you do? Have you ever felt like this? Blah, blah, blah. Like, maybe like a questionnaire like that would have been good, because that would have raised awareness. It would have made people think like, oh, what would I do in that situation and things like that. But the way that they've gone across, I think in essence, it could be quite a good idea because it could raise awareness. But the way that they've gone about it with the questions that they picked is wrong.
It seems to be, if it were done in a way that the answers were shocking, you know, what percentage of people suffer from a particular, or just from mental health issues, is it 1 in 10, 1 in 100, or 1 in, what is 1 in 3, isn't it, I think. So if they made all the answers these shocking statistics, then you're raising awareness and saying A, it's more common than you think, B, it's more dangerous than you think, and C, more needs to be done about it than just thinking about it. Then it's a well done, the idea of a well done, it's all, it needed to be an awareness campaign rather than this idea of humour.
But do you think that this was an idea of humour? I don't know if this was necessarily a joke by them, because they could genuinely have sat down and thought, you know, maybe there is some sense to this question. I mean, the question, how many people with depression does it take to screw in a light bulb? Obviously asked completely incorrectly, but ultimately I imagine the answer was one. It doesn't actually say on the article that I've been reading what the answer was, but if the answer is, you know, one, and then beneath that they have some sort of text saying ultimately with depression it's still the same person, but you know, they,
but why play on the joke then? Why play on the well-known?
And because, like, especially with jokes like light bulb jokes, they are always, I don't think I've ever heard a screw in a light bulb joke which is reflected positively on the butt of the joke. Like, it's always something to do with the person not being as good, or being like less, or being stupid or something like that. It's never something that is good when it comes to screwing a light bulb joke. So immediately that connotation comes out and you think less of a person who has depression, which is disgusting.
I mean, also the question about do you think that people self-harm for the sake of attention? I mean, there are certain members of society who do believe that, and so perhaps the university wanted, or the college, sorry, rather, wanted to actually find out, you know, what their students thought about that.
But regardless of whether the answer to that question is true or false, even if there are people who do that for attention, it doesn't mean that you can still ask questions like that and make an assumption based on something like that. It's just such a horrific thing. If you're coming to that conclusion in your mind that you want, well, you want, you do something like that, you don't want to see it belittled in any way, shape or form, because it's an incredibly hard thing to do. You know, we have just subconsciously a survival instinct. It's not something that should even be considered being belittled just because of how hard it is for someone to come to that conclusion in the first place.
This is URN The Pulse.
Meg has got a story for us now. She's going to be telling us about an entrepreneur who has solved your crisis about what to buy a guy for Christmas.
Yes, so this is a story about David Galbraith, who's a 26-year-old entrepreneur from Northern Ireland and a graduate of Queen's University Belfast. So he supposes that he's just saved you hours of aimless traipsing around the shops for this year, when he says that he's created the perfect gift to buy any male for Christmas. Now, excuse me for being slightly sceptical of this, but what he's created is a posh hip flask. So he says that he's had a lot of help for this. He says that startup loans came along. He got £10,000 in cash, and unlike the banks, they had humans assessing applications. So he got into, managed to get his product out like that, and he realised that he can make money out of pretty much anything, which is true, as he's just reinvented the hip flask. So he says that for people who want to be an entrepreneur, pick something that you would do for free, or something you think that can add value to that no one else wants to do. So this hip flask is called a swig flask, and he's doing very well with it, and he's bought a bit of the Spirit of Christmas exhibition in Kensington, where it's being showcased. So what I find interesting about this is the fact that he said that this can be bought for any man for Christmas. What is your guys' opinion that any man in the world, all he could possibly want is basically a hip flask?
I mean, first up, above the age of 18, of course.
Yeah, first of all, I was like, point number one, I will not be buying my 17-year-old brother that.
Belated gift.
I swear every man I know pretty much owns a hip flask. I think I was like...
I own two.
Yeah.
Like, do you?
No, I don't own a hip flask.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
and it's...
Sorry, continue.
Yeah. I like was trying to decide on Christmas presents today, and I was like chatting to my mum, like, has this person got a hip flask? And she was like, yes. Has this person? Yes. And it was like all the men I knew already had a hip flask. So a bit pointless, really.
You have nicer gift thoughts than I do for my family, because it was, who haven't I given a tie to yet? And who needs a pair of socks?
Socks, yeah.
I like a good pair of socks. They're always good. No, but the swig flasks do look quite nice, to be fair.
They do look nice, and they are snazzy. Mm-hmm. I'll give them
And
that.
They come in a variety of colours.
That's always good.
Other flasks are available.
Other flasks are available.
But I would argue that if I feel like it's always this thing with these sort of like gourmet sort of high end products. Like at the end of the day, yeah, that, I know that was the wrong word.
I was like gourmet.
Eat the hip flask. No. So with these high end products, you do always look at them and you're like, it's basically something that I could buy for a lot cheaper. Like if I wanted to buy a blue hip flask, I would type into Amazon blue hip flask.
I got one of my hip flasks for £2 from a vintage shop.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm actually, come back to me. I'll look how much these are.
But no, it is like I can kind of understand where he's coming from, because there are a lot of men out there who would just, a hip flask is a perfectly decent present. It's not the kind of present where it looks like, you know, you put way too much effort in, but it's not the kind of present where it's just like, oh, anything will do. It's a pretty nice present to get, to be honest.
I still see it in that brand of things, though. You see them on tourist stands, and they're the kind of things that look they can look really tacky. Mm-hmm. And like, oh yeah, these actually cost 50p to make and we're selling them for £10.
I mean, you know, yes, but perhaps this is something that will last a lot longer. I mean, the one that I bought, the £2 one, is now a little bit broken. Like the flip up part of it is just a little bit cracked, and so I'm not sure how much longer it will last and everything. Whereas I imagine that one of these hand stitched leather, etc., might last, you know, many, many years. So perhaps there is some value to it. I mean, it is a matter of like quantity or quality. What would you rather have? I mean, you could buy 10 t-shirts from Primark, or one t-shirt that will actually last more than 5 minutes. So
yeah, but the difference is that the Primark ones also are just nicer generally. Like, there is
really
there is now wrong with Primark.
There's nothing wrong with Primark. I love Primark. I bought a jumper from there this morning. However, I will
ugly Christmas sweater.
I wouldn't say ugly. The ugly ones were too ugly. Like, for me, I was just looking at it. I was like, that is foul.
If it doesn't have a cat that also has, like, little jingle bells on it, then what's the point?
I hate cats. Why would I buy anything with a cat on? He's gone. No, but
this is going to be a big discussion later on.
I can see the argument that I personally, a lot of the time, will go somewhere maybe which I know has better quality clothes, and I'll buy one thing, because like I do go to Primark, I do like their clothes, but I know that if I buy a dress from Primark, it's going to last me a year tops before it starts fraying, before it starts breaking.
Yeah. Primark is not for longevity, it's for sheer bulk.
But the thing is, at the end of the day, if I go to Primark buy a dress, it's going to be £10. If I go to Topshop buy a dress, it's going to be £25. But I currently have a dress from Topshop which I've had since I was 15, I still wear. So it's just like I've saved so much money there
again
than buying the same thing again and again. But again, it's all in relation.
If you want to buy something, you can compare it with most things. You know, with shops, like supermarkets, for instance. If you want to buy a cheap ingredient and stock up on them and buy them in bulk, you'll go to the Lidl or an Aldi or even, you know, the Costco or something like that. If you want it's decent price and it's decent longevity or decent taste or something like that, you'll go to one of the middle of the range ones. And if you're looking for the quality and sometimes the pointlessness over price, then you do something like Waitrose. You know, it's the comparison is quite clear there, that Primark is not the idea being that you can buy all these things, and back to the Black Friday story, you can buy for the sake of buying, and you can buy the same amount for the same price much more, but does that mean it's going to last as long as one thing from the other place? Probably going to last longer, but is it worthwhile?
Some really good points there, but that is sadly all we have time for on The Pulse today. Make sure you tune in again tomorrow from 5 till 6, where it will be hosted by David. So
maybe.
Look forward to that. Maybe, apparently.
Will be.
It better be hosted by David. Don't give me a breakdown.
So yeah, we'll see you then. Until then, let's play Dancing in the Moonlight by Top Loader.
This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.